Welcome to What's the Cast! This week on ExtraCast, we're going to be checking out Dustin Mills' newest film, Skinless. We'll also be taking a look at Morris County, not to be confused with Madison County, or that movie about bridges. And Horror Independent 8, or Height, which you would have heard us talking about last week with our awesome interview with Rob from Wild Eye Releasing, and I hope you guys enjoyed that and the drag down fucking fight that him and Chuck had, because it was fun. But this week, it's back to business, so enjoy. What's going on, guys?
Not just a busy week. Not much news really either, is it?
I had a birthday yesterday.
Chuck did
that
have a birthday yesterday.
Thing, yes, I forgot about that for a second.
I'm turning the ripe at old age of 32 years young.
Well, it was funny because Chuck sent me a text message yesterday and said, if we record tonight, then it might have to be a little bit later due to birthday obligations or something like that. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's his grandma's birthday. So I was like, whose birthday is it? He's like, it's mine, you asshole.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, Chuck. I didn't have your birth date in my my calendar, buddy.
That's a shame.
I'll add it, though.
Then you sent me a text, and I had already told you. I'm like, well, I didn't know if I could record because they'd asked me to come in yesterday and, like, close. And I told you I'd text you back, and I'd gotten so freaking busy I forgot to text you back. So I get a text in the background, and I'm like, oh, well, good thing we're not recording tonight, because I can't fucking do it. I'm here still.
I'm still trying to figure out why the zombies don't run down. Ned is sending updates to your device.
Did you go, yeah. At any time somebody, did you switch back to WordPress, right?
Yeah, I already had it. It was just being built, you know? And we were trying to see what all we could salvage, which we ended up we saved everything but like a year and a half of reviews.
Like the last year and a half.
Yeah, the last year and a half. But it's like the only thing bad is like the top 10 lists and stuff are gone, but the reviews already had saved. The news, who cares about that? But that stuff was back on there. And, of course, now like a lot of them don't have pictures, which is a bummer because the pictures were on the HostGator server. So when we moved to WordPress, we didn't get the pictures with it. So I've been trying to salvage that as much as possible. And it just so happened that my top 20 list, you know, got some steam because I put it on Reddit or whatever that thing's called.
Reddit?
Yeah. And it really, you know, everybody started going to it. They started clicking.
What the hell is that? Congratulations.
Ow.
Ow.
You have been selected to take part in our anonymous survey.
Newsfinder is looking at porn while we record.
And to say thank you, we'll offer you a
gift. What the fuck is that? Stop that. Ow. God damn, I hate this computer sometimes.
That's wonderful.
Sounds okay. For a bit. Jesus Christ. That just happened on this thing. I don't know why. God's sakes. Fucking hell.
It's what you get for looking at porn while you're recording, buddy.
I wasn't doing anything. That's just it. Just does it by itself. Jesus Christ.
Hope the young ones with the virginal ears aren't listening to this podcast right now. But either way, It got some steam, and you got the notifications for some reason.
I got a notification saying that your number one was the worst pick ever or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like somebody clicked on something old and commented on it, which I can understand that. But is I don't know, because...
I haven't gotten any more.
Huh?
I haven't gotten any more.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you delete that from the ExtraCast site?
Well, I logged into the ExtraCast site and realized that there was no other members but you. You know, my thing never went through where you tried to add me.
Right.
So, and I was trying to figure out what's going on, because my friend, he was on his own Chromebook when he set that up, you know, and everything. So there's no way that the wires could have got crossed. So I have no clue what's going on. I don't know. But you've got none today, right?
I haven't gotten any since that very last one where you said you get the email on it, too. I haven't gotten any notifications since.
I don't know, but if I've logged into ExtraCast and I'm on my computer and then I go to my website, then I always get notifications on Zombies Don't Run about what's happened on ExtraCast. It may just be where, like, if I'm logged into two different things at once, you know?
Okay, but the thing is, I've never been logged into Zombies Don't Run.
Well, I have, though. And I've been logged in as admin on yours, so maybe that's what happened.
Maybe.
I don't know. Technology, I blame the small group of Indians that make my life miserable when I call for tech support. Thank you. How are you on this beautiful day? I'm not doing good, but
and welcome to the racist podcast.
No. I'm just saying, though. They get
hey, Chuck. Up. Chuck, we know you're from Tennessee. No one expects any less from you, buddy.
No, I'm just saying. I never have no problem on tech support unless I call, like, you know, not GoDaddy, but like HostGator or the Straight Talk, you know, cell phone service. And that one time when I'm lying, so I smashed my phone. When I actually didn't, like I said, my phone hasn't been wet. It ain't working. It's never been wet. And she goes, "Oh, it's been wet. It's been wet." And I'm like, "It's not been wet." So she starts laughing at me, and I get into it with her, and I'm like, "I demand somebody else." And they put somebody else on, and I was like, "I just want you to know that I feel really disrespected right now because this woman was laughing at my problem over here." And he goes, "Well, she put down here that you have smashed your screen." I was like, "I never smashed my screen. It's just, you know, it's just stupid." I was getting hoodwinked.
Damn cell phone companies.
Yeah.
I know.
Apparently, you know, Newsfinder's in the cell phone business now.
I don't want to be. Take me out of the cell phone industry for Christ's sake. Anyway.
you should get in the cell phone business because there's a lot of money to be made.
Apparently.
Is there, like, no solid horror news this week at all? I mean, I've not heard much besides what Scream Factory's got a couple new titles.
The only news that I have heard is that Tyrese has been bitten.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, too.
You know, I got some news for you.
What's that?
The Code Red guy. Uh-oh. Did you hear about his latest debacle?
No, sir.
Oh, this would be fun.
He got on Facebook and was throwing a fit complaining because he had over, like, so many orders that he couldn't ship them all. And he's like, if you order something, I don't want to hear no complaints when you don't get it real soon. My neighbors haven't helped me mail it. And he's like, you know, and all you people cry and whine and complain because you don't get your stuff in time and all this stuff. And people's like, oh, that's a good way to treat your customers and appreciate the business. So everybody's like jumping all over him because he's sitting there complaining because he got a lot of orders. You know, usually this is the guy that complains about not getting a lot of orders. Well, he's complaining now about getting a lot of orders. And I don't know, Code Red business may go down a little bit after that, maybe. Although most people just give him down the road and go ahead and order his stuff anyway. But I don't know, man. I would think that, you know, having too many orders that you can't get to it real quick, that's a good problem to have. And you could always get help, or he could do the right thing. Just give them all to Jesse from Diabolic and let him handle them, because he'll actually ship overseas. And this, you know, Bill refuses to ship overseas now. He don't even ship to Canada anymore.
Because it costs
sounds very familiar to me, like the issue that happened with Horror Movie Empire, where the guy was running the whole thing himself, and except the guy who was doing that was not nearly as loud and annoying as the guy from Code Red is.
Yeah. That's only one of the big news stories. The other one is Jim Van Bever versus Severn.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Of course, this is all allegedly. We don't know. We have no dog in the fight. But Jim complained about royalties. They claimed they wasn't selling any copies. So since they're going to go to court over the issue, apparently, Severn decided they're just going to destroy all remaining copies that have been unsold. So that way he can't say that he's not getting royalties off of them. So therefore, overnight, The Manson Family on Blu-ray becomes highly collectible.
And it looks like crap.
I don't know if it, I don't.
To be fair, it always did because.
I don't know if it really looked like crap. I know it looked like what, because he shoots like on what, 8mm, 16mm?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't see any difference aside of being brighter and harder to watch on Blu-ray than my DVD.
I ain't actually watched, I watched the Blu-ray, but I haven't like, I watched the DVD and then the Blu-ray so far apart that I couldn't really tell you much of a difference at all. Besides, I've seen some of those like you're talking about where like the only noticeable difference is it's brighter. But I don't think there's much detail to be had because unless I'm wrong, which is, you know, possible, I think he only shoots on like either 8 or 16 millimeter.
I have no idea.
All these new Blu-rays is like 8 millimeter and 16 millimeter Blu-rays. You know, that's stretching it for what you got. I mean, Evil Dead was 16 millimeter, right?
I believe so.
Something like
it,
that, yeah.
And it don't look great. It looks okay, you know. I mean, but it's just there's only so much you're going to get out of a Blu-ray when it's 16 millimeter. That's
true.
My complaint for the week.
It's always something with you, Chuck.
Well, at least I don't have nothing personally to complain about. I don't think.
Well, at least you're not complaining about Morbid any longer.
Now, what am I going to complain about now?
You'll
find something. He sent me a hi-8, and he sent me a T-shirt, and. I don't know what to complain about. It's all the bridges are well to be traveled across now. There's no burning of them, no blowing them up. I think even him and Dr. Horror are getting along now, and it's just it's all good.
That is good.
It is good. But I don't know. I feel lost for words, so I don't have nothing to complain about.
Well, let's fix your loss for words, and let's talk about some movies.
Yeah. The kid wants to talk about movies.
Can you hear him?
Yeah.
I heard him a little bit.
Is that the only time you've heard him?
Yeah.
So far, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, we've had a dog bark in the background of this podcast for years. We can handle a kid in the background.
Hell, if I just cursed for a good 2 minutes straight.
with an internet ad yelling at us.
I'm not even doing anything. I don't get it. Anyway.
You need to download AdVast. Anti-spyware, it's free. Run it. Disable some of your startup things. You'll be good to go.
This has been the ExtraCast Tech Support Blog.
Or you can buy a Mac.
Hey, I have two friends that are A-plus certified, and you don't spend your years around those folks and computers without picking up a few tricks of the trade, you know.
My girlfriend has a Mac. She's had a Mac for years. She wants to switch to Windows.
You know, we did a Morbid commentary the other night on Skype, and I managed to tech support this girl that couldn't figure out how to make her right microphone be the one coming through during the conversation.
Good for you, Chuck.
That sounds almost like a sexual metaphor.
Well, it ain't.
He wishes it was.
Nah. It's Kelly Carver, so it's give or take.
So, she's on the commentary. Didn't you have an entire Zombies Don't Podcast episode where... Dr. Gruesome just said, fuck Kelly Carver.
Yeah, pretty much. It comes and goes.
Okay.
But we had one person, and she didn't get the show, so we just grabbed her to keep it from being a repeat performance of me and Ryan.
Gotcha.
But there are three commentary tracks at the moment.
Well, we all look forward to pretending like we watched them.
Yeah. Nobody watches commentary tracks unless it's something special, I think.
So our first film tonight is from Unearthed Films, and it is Matthew Garrett's Morris County. This was a Chuck Connery recommendation, kind of like the period.
Well, you ask me a lot of times, like, what's good to pick? And I just have to give you stuff to pick because, obviously, I mean, I don't know. If we don't pick something, we'll have nothing to do.
Well, this one is nothing like the period.
And also, you just claimed, apparently, that the period was a good thing to pick, so...
No, I just picked the period because he's like, what have I watched recently? So whenever he gets the same movies, it's something I've already watched. I don't have to go back and watch something extra.
So,
I'm a busy man.
Yeah, Chuck's a busy man, all right. So, Morris County is a...
anthology.
Yeah, it's an anthology. It's got three short films in it, and... only one of them takes place in Morris County, though.
Is that right?
Yep.
I thought it all took place in Morris County.
Only the third one took place in Morris County, because at the beginning of them, they all say, like, it was like, there's a title card, and it says, like, Subject 1, or something like that, or Test 1, and it's got somebody's name, and then it says the county that they're in.
Oh, well. Well, now I wonder why they did that.
I don't know. So, in the first one, we've got this girl, I believe her name was Ellie. If I can remember correctly, yeah, Ellie.
Yeah, Ellie.
And she's a fucking dramatic-ass teenager.
Yes, I guess you could say that. By the way, ignore the text. I sent you wrong person.
Okay. I just saw that. It just popped up, and I wondered why Chuck Connery was texting me when he's talking to me.
Yeah. No, I didn't mind the first story, though, overall.
No, it was cool. So we've got Ellie. She's not talking to her mom, and she's just angsty little bitch. And you see her, she skips school, and she's trying to get some, she's trying to smoke cigarettes, and she doesn't know how to smoke cigarettes. So she's, like, taking three puffs, holding it weird, and coughing up a lung. So then she goes to a liquor store and tries to buy some liquor, and they're like, you're too young. And she tries to offer a blowjob for a bottle of booze. And it's just this really weird, like, why is she... You're trying to figure out why she's wanting to do this, and there's this dark secret that kind of comes along with it, but the whole, the build-up, it's actually, it's pretty awesome. And there's an awesome sing-along song in it.
Yeah, I thought the plot here was pretty good on this, but I mean, I think all of them in general have pretty good plots when we get into them, you know? It's just some of them don't really have the best delivery. This was a little awkward, but I think it's got a better delivery.
This was my favorite of the three, for sure.
Yeah.
And to me, they kind of went in order 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, so she's got something dark going on, and we kind of don't figure it out until the end, and how she copes with it.
Yeah.
And everything she does kind of ends up making sense once you know what's going on.
It's just real strange at first.
Mm-hmm. Not as strange as the second one, though.
No, I don't think I like the second one very much.
I thought it was all right.
This was the married couple, right?
Yeah, there's a Jewish family.
And, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I know what they were trying to do, and it was okay and all that, but it was pretty good character development as far as that goes, but as far as shock and awe, which is, I think it's kind of like what they go for because it's unearthed, you know, I don't know. I don't think it did much for me overall.
For me, this is a strange title. This is the most unearthed title I've ever seen from this company.
Well, I don't know, though. Like, the last part and the first part could probably fit in pretty well. The middle is a little... I don't know what they're doing with the middle.
I like the middle one quite a bit. Got a Jewish family, husband, wife, and a son. The son's like a little sociopath. He is torturing mice and all sorts of soon-to-be serial killer-esque things. The mom and dad, you can tell, really aren't on the same wavelength. They're probably not getting along. They're not banging. They're not doing something.
That's where you know you got a problem if they ain't banging.
That's right. So they go to their synagogue, and you can tell that she's kind of got her eye on this other dude. And the husband knows it.
Well, let's not forget our dramatic scene there where we're trying to figure out if this guy's about to blow his brains out or not.
Yeah, so something's off with the family, and
you get that vibe really quickly.
It takes a twist, a couple of turns, and it's pretty crazy. I think it's definitely story-wise the most shocking of the three.
You don't think the last one wasn't the most shocking?
I don't think it's shocking in the slightest.
It's a little morbid.
I think the next one is by far the weakest.
Oh, I don't know. It's sad, though. You know, it's funny, but it's kind of sad.
But we've seen this, that whole plot's been done before.
When?
I've seen it before. I can't think of titles, dude. I've got less than 12 hours of sleep in 8 days, buddy.
The jury don't want to hear.
And I don't want to say it and give it away because other people are like, "Oh yeah, I've seen that before." Everyone's fucking seen it before, Chuck.
That's the problem with, like, when you talk about anthologies like that, is especially ones that's got like little twist here and twist there and stuff like that. It's really hard to even describe it without spoiling something, you know. But I thought it was the best part of it. So that's me.
You want to just jump right into the third one then, Chuck?
No. I mean, if you want to talk more about the second one. I mean, the second one, I don't know. Like, you can kind of see it going the way it's going to go, though, after a certain point with the man. After you see what he's about, you kind of figure out there's only one way this thing's going. You know.
But still, the whole build-up to what he ends up doing and why he gets in that situation is probably the most shocking thing in the whole whole film.
Maybe.
We'll let our viewers decide. Unfortunately, Newsfinder's not seen it, so he can't be our.
Sorry, I cannot break the tie.
Fucking Newsfinder, Jesus! One job, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
One job you have to fit in with your other job.
Precisely.
So I'm going to butter him up so that way when he sees it, he's going to say, "You know what, Chuck's right."
Hey, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Yeah. You know, I also haven't watched yet, Chuck Morbid. I think that's why you're buttering me up.
Yeah, you ain't watched that yet. I gotta go and, you know, get these reviewers ready to roll now, you know. I have to be nice to them, so that way they're like, "Oh, he's so nice, I don't want to give him a bad review."
Be prepared to be let down, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm prepared to let down. I don't know. I've been handling highly strung critics all week long. Rob's buddies continuing to irritate me highly. Well, that's another story for another day, though. Not Rob. Rob's in the clear. It's just his friend.
The same friend?
Yes. And you can imagine, apparently it's a big deal if you get your quote. Like, he's like, "I know what kills you because I get all these quotes and all these covers of all these movies." And I'm sitting there thinking, like, yeah, I made a movie. So, whatever.
Quotes don't mean anything. Anybody can get a quote on anything.
Especially if
nobody else has a quote on it.
I know how this works, especially with those type of films. It's one of those, "Hey, give me a good quote." Yeah, here's your good quote. I don't know how it works. Get something on the cover of a Lionsgate movie or a Universal movie, and we'll talk. Which those are just as corrupt, but only they're higher up corrupt, you know?
Hey, my boy Captain Narcolepsy, he got a quote on Evil Dead remake.
Yeah. And that's a legit one, because he went to a premiere, and he gave an honest review, and he got a quote. He didn't just have somebody butter you up and say, "Here, oh, yeah, man, give me a good review. We need quotes for a box." You know, which is how that goes. I know how it goes.
Yeah, you know Rob's going to listen to this episode, right?
Well, let him listen to the episode. Rob, it ain't a diss on Rob. It's a diss on his buddy who takes everything way too seriously.
All right, so the third one. She's got this old lady named Iris.
It's retirement time.
Yeah, it's forced retirement time.
The worst kind of retirement time there is.
They're bringing someone into the office to pretty much replace her because they're moving to a new computer system and she is unable to learn this system. Which, I mean, makes sense. I mean, I'm sure she's been there, you know, she said 20 plus years, so I'm sure they gave her, you know, good severance. They were all really nice to her and they got her some nice gifts. And so it was her last day. And she went home, and she was super annoying to her uncaring husband, and she was just super fucking annoying, man. Like, reading the card over and over again to him at dinner. And she's like, did you hear that? Did you hear what they said? I like this last line. Let me read it to you a fifth fucking time.
That's what they do, though.
What, old trust people me, or wives?
Yeah, old people in general.
Okay.
Yeah. You hear everything 40 times.
Hmm. So we're on the bat for her because we feel bad for her. Already we feel bad for her because she's really like, "Well, if you change your mind," like, "we won't. But if you do, just call me and I'll come right back."
Mm-hmm. Of course, something happens when she goes home.
Yeah, that next night there's another life-changing event. And she
this,
just kind of...
This one doesn't seem to register, though.
No, it does. She's too far gone, and she's a bit delusional, which may be another reason that they kind of let her go. Who knows?
So, like, the one that is, I was part of it, though, is like, this ain't much of a spoiler, I don't think. It just tries to actually go back to work.
Yeah, so she, like, a couple of days later, she bakes some cookies and she goes to work.
Which, of course, everybody automatically, you think it would set off more an alarm, I guess, than it does. You know, it's like, what is she doing back? But that's just like little stuff like that. That's why I enjoyed this one. And plus, there's some actual good effects, I think, here.
There's some decent effects in this, yeah, for sure.
This is where the gross-out stuff comes from, and this is where the unearthed people come in at, I bet, to think why they have it.
Come from, then.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Of course, the first one's got some pretty good stuff, you know, as well, as far as, like, little effects goes, but I think this one is pretty good for that. And when you think about it, and you really put into perspective of what happens and how it goes, it makes it even kind of nastier, if you think. So that's why I like this one better than I did the other two. Not that I hated the other two. I just, this one and the first one make it for me. I kind of think they should have done a fourth one, though, because, you know, anthologies are a little bit odd when they're just three. I mean, even Creepshow 2 had three. But that's because one got cut or never was filmed, you know.
Which may be a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Creepshow 2, but I think it could
have been. Did you say two or three?
I mean two. If I said three, I meant two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we all know the ExtraCast.
Yeah, Creepshow 3, that's not Creepshow, man. I don't know what that is, but I'm just going to go ahead with George Romero and Tom Savini and just say that Tales from Dark Side, the movie, is Creepshow 3.
Right.
Yeah. But now, as far as this goes, it could have used the fourth one, I think, man. I mean, it's good enough for what it is, but I think it needed another one to kind of get up over that hump a little bit more than it does.
I think one of the things that the first one was pretty short. The second was pretty short. The third one, it was a lot longer than the first two.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it was dragged out a little bit, you know, just for the length. Maybe they didn't have a third one to use. But now, why didn't they use more stuff in actual Morris County?
I don't know. Because, like I said, that third piece was the only one. Iris, I think, was the old lady's name. That was the only one that took place in Morris County.
Maybe they figured that Morris County was a better sounding title than neighboring counties or something.
Than whatever, whatever it originally was, I guess.
They could just call it Creepshow 4, since apparently you ain't got to have really much of a... a thing there to actually use that title.
Regardless, I will give it absolution.
I'm giving it absolution. Well, I really like unearthed films, man. I mean, there's like, I don't know if much, I can't think of anything I haven't liked from unearthed films.
Did you ever get to see Bone Sickness, Chuck?
Yeah, I liked it. It's crazy. I don't know what I watched, but I liked it.
It's a fucked up movie.
It is, and, I don't know. I think Collar might have been. Are we doing Collar? We're doing that later on, ain't we?
Yeah, we'll do that probably in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I may have some complaints on that.
Well, if it's anything like his last, like, four movies, I probably will, too.
I don't understand how you can fall off like that.
Don't know.
Because, I mean, Famine was like, ugh. You know? I like Bleeding Lady, though.
I didn't like the Bleeding Lady.
I like the story.
Or Star Vehicle, as it's been retitled.
I'm a little concerned about Gutterballs, too. I don't know how we're going to... I don't know. I mean, I want to be excited, but then I'm kind of thinking this ain't the same Ryan Nicholson we had before, you know?
So I posted the picture of Collar on maybe it was Instagram or Twitter, maybe both. I don't know. But somebody responded like, oh, Ryan Nicholson's so fucking cool and blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, if he was really that cool, he would have... you know, he wouldn't be such a dick to all of his customers. And,
he is.
You know how Vincent and I complained about how long it took us to get our colostomy bag... Hangers.
Yeah.
Well, he made a trade with Dead Rat for some tapes.
Uh-huh.
And Dead Rat, of course, is a good, nice guy that he is. He sent Mr. Nicholson his tapes. It's been over a year and Ryan's never sent him his stuff.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, too, that, I hate to say, I don't want to name names, because, you know, you get into the business, and you're gonna make enemies, it's not good, but I don't like them directors that just, when somebody gives them a bad review, they decide, oh, well, let's just post the review so all of my friends will go, you know, go against these people just because they didn't like the movie, And they're like finding little things to try to nitpick about the review. You know what I mean? Like, this guy didn't like your movie, so hey, let's post that review up on Facebook and let's let every one of my friends, unleash the Kraken. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I don't like that. I mean, I never would do that either. If you don't like it, fine. I ain't gonna be like, hey, look, tear this guy apart. You don't like my movie. Now, it didn't happen to me, luckily, because it probably did at one point or another. I just didn't see him post it. But I know I didn't give a good review for Famine, and that actually made its way onto the Famine Wikipedia page. Somebody put it on there that I didn't like it. But there's a few directors like that. But I hope that if there's any shred of the old filmmaker Ryan Nicholson, that it finds its way into Gutter Balls 2.
Well, that'd be great.
I kind of find it hilarious that you go to his IMDb page. It says he is known for his work on Stargate SG-1, Supernatural, and Smallville.
Well, yeah, because he's a pretty... He was a pretty prominent special effects guy.
None of his actual directing work, just his makeup effect.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, gotta do what you gotta do, I guess.
So...
he had a legit career doing stuff like that, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is that how he makes his movies, then?
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll get more on Mr. Nicholson when we get to his film here in a couple of weeks, but there are definitely things to point out about Mr. Nicholson's latest work.
Our next film is Skinless, and this is from Dustin Wade Mills.
Is he Wade Mills or just Dustin Mills these days? Because I really don't know.
Well, this says Dustin Wade Mills.
Yeah.
I guess this is called Skinless Pete and the Ballad of Skinless Pete.
Yeah, that was the original title, and then it got changed to Skinless somewhere along the way. Don't know why.
Easier to market?
Is it easier to market?
I don't know, I'm guessing.
I thought the Ballad of Skinless Pete was a better name, but
I don't know. I prefer just Skinless.
Oh, well.
I think it's Skinless is the best problem myself.
Well, you guys say tomato, and I'll say tomato.
And we'll say you're wrong.
Yeah, well. I think original title should be left alone. Nobody made me change my title.
That was short and to the point, Chuck.
That's true. Wait till the Ballad of the Worms gets done, right?
That's why you like the Ballad of Skinless Pete, because it had the word ballad in it.
Hey, well, Creepshow again used that. It all goes to Creepshow tonight, ladies and gentlemen, everything.
All right, so Skinless is a very low-budget gore flick. We've got Peter, who is a doctor, and there's another doctor named Alice.
Played by Aaron Ryan.
Yep. They rent this house, and they do their experiments in the basement, and they're trying to come up with a way to cure cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up stealing this little snake thing that,
worm.
Yeah, that comes from the Amazon, and I've seen it on like river monsters and shit like that, it can get inside your body.
Yeah, it like causes... dissolve your skin, basically.
But I think that's the made-up part.
Yeah, I imagine.
For the movie, yeah. This little thing can get into your skin, and it'll... Here's something, the bacteria in it, that will eat away at your flesh. The real one will, get into your body and fuck you up other ways. But regardless...
Not as bad as those things can mess you up from the movie The Bay. The parasites?
Yeah, you talk to Jesse Bartel about The Bay.
Does he not
he
like
loves it?
It.
He loves it.
Oh, I loved it too. I had it on my top 10 list that year. Or I had this movie here on my top 10 list this year, oddly enough.
He doesn't really love it, so that should be a fun, interesting conversation.
He should.
So he said, this will work, and it's got all of our everything statistically will work. And we've just got to get the funding. We'll start testing on animals. So they bring Neil, this guy that's been funding them for like 10 years.
And played by Mr. Parker of YouTube video review fame, by the way.
Yeah, Dave Parker.
Yes, sir.
So when he's like, well, I need results before I can give you any more money. I'm really sorry. You'll have to get your funding elsewhere. And then once we see the results, the, you know, the money can start flowing again. So Peter has a, he's got a cancerous spot on his shoulder, so he's like, fuck it, I'm going to inject myself with it. And that's where the rift between the doctors happens, and that's where all the shit breaks loose, and Peter becomes Skinless Pete.
Very bad idea.
And it was a terrible idea.
It seems okay at first.
Yeah, and that's always the way it is, isn't it? You know, it's like, yeah, oh, this is great, and then all of a sudden he's got a bloody spot, and then all of a sudden he takes a bath and all the skin comes off.
And of course, one of the funny things about it is actually this is the more emotional side of this film. Is yeah, there's guts and gore, but he really, really likes his partner. You know, the female doctor.
But she doesn't see him that way, and he's also like a man whore.
Yeah, yeah. But so basically, whenever the things hit the fan, this kind of comes into play more often, and it ain't just, you know, oh well, that sucks, and you know, blah blah blah. He decides to take matters into his own hands a little bit.
And he actually, we find out that he needs to feed, and he's got some rather interesting side effects.
It's almost like the fly in some ways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In many ways.
Yeah, the gore is pretty awesome.
The gore is amazing considering the movie's made for $2,000.
Yeah, and it's filmed in just, you know, four rooms in a house.
With like what, four cast members?
Four cast members and two puppets.
But that's like, is there puppets?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a puppet animal, and then that little worm thing's a puppet.
I forgot about those for some reason.
Well, I mean, I guess it's not really a puppet. It's just like a little felt thing on a string and a glass of water.
Oh, yeah, but it still works.
Yeah, it's still a puppet.
Well, you know, it ain't like Dustin Mills' typical puppet stuff.
No, and I'm glad. I'm
glad, too, because I liked Heart Attack, which is also called Night of the Tentacles. I like it.
I have a copy of that, and I've never watched it.
I don't know, like, I'm not all that big about, like, the Easter Casket and the Puppet Monster Masker and all that.
Well, apparently my review of Easter Casket upset Mr. Mills quite a bit.
Bad reviews upset Mr. Mills quite a bit, because he's one of those guys that kind of post the reviews if you don't like them online. And I like Dustin, but he does do that, and that's
he's never, he cried to Vincent about it, that's what happened.
Uh-oh.
Because they're such pals there, and then Dustin never sent him the Puppet Monster Masker
stuff. Yeah, I was going to say, that's causing the issues with Laser Paladin video there.
Yeah, he...
It was.
He caused the issues.
I sent everything to Vincent. I was supposed to send to Vincent, and my movie never got really past 5 copies, so...
Well, he was always saying he wanted to go in order and shit, so...
Yeah, I guess you got to be even harder than Dustin Mills to have Vincent put in the effort for you.
Did that Puppet Monster Masker ever get released?
No, sir, it did not.
Ooh, wait.
I don't know if he ever got the things back.
Yeah.
Which is odd because, you know, I think, I don't know if Mills is usually known for stuff like that. I don't know. But I don't know if he ever had any other tapes come out with anybody else or not, but.
Yeah, he did. He did a collaboration with Horror Boobs for Basalt Zombies. I have it.
Oh, well, I don't know. But like I said, though, like, I don't know how you can describe him. I like him, but he's one of those guys that.
He was nice when I met him.
Well, he's nice, but I think he's on this kind of, like, a lot of times if you don't kind of dig his opinion, I don't think he knows how to handle it. Because I remember, like, me and him had an exchange the other day on Facebook because he was wanting to know why everybody was so upset about the Royal Rumble, you know, and I was kind of like, well, it was one of those things where you kind of have to be watching, you know, all this time to know what's going on to really, you know, be able to really connect with what the problem is. And he's like, no, I'm a very intelligent man. If somebody would just tell me what it is, I can understand. So... Like, okay, buddy.
I understand it, and I still don't like it.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it's all right. When Roman Reigns beats Daniel Bryan...
Internet's going to explode.
It'll be all right. I'll be happy.
It'll be hilarious.
What'd you say, Newsfinder?
I said it's going to be hilarious.
Vince McMahon's not going to care until he loses a couple million, billion again, and then he'll finally take notice, but whatever.
He's fine.
Yeah, well,
all those people that canceled will be back for WrestleMania, and they'll pay their $10 again.
Well, it's like CM Punk said, he's a millionaire that should be a billionaire, but he can't be because he's got too many people, yes men, in his corner. Punk was right, you know.
All right, enough about wrestling.
Yeah.
So,
before you get a bad email from Dustin Mills talking about how we dogged him on this episode, though, I will say I did like the movie.
Well, he's fantastic.
Yeah, and I had it in my top 10. I think it's gore and it's a good story. This is like a good story. That's why I like the Heart Attack movie, which of course is called Night of the Tentacles. It's got two titles, like everything I think he's got out.
But, yeah, I've got the one that's called Night of the Tentacles.
Yeah, that's the MVD release.
Yeah. Right?
And it's got a good story. When he actually has a good story to go with everything else, I think it's when he does his best work. And this one has that. Of course, Erin Ryan, I think she does a great job. You see her in a lot of stuff these days.
Mm-hmm.
And for good reason, because she's a good actress.
She is. The guy that plays Peter, Brandon...
Saul Kiliela.
He was awesome. He was great in this.
And I'm saying, like, when he... I don't know if it's like... If he uses personal experience on it or what exactly happens, but when Mills actually does more of an emotional-based story with the gore is when stuff is better. Now, he can always put a little joke here and there. Like, you know, there's some, a lot of his stuff's kind of joke, but, you know, I don't mean a joke. I mean funny, you know, the movie is, and it's okay. But, like, when he's more serious like this, I think when he does his best work, because I never really got that much, you know, really in that much to stuff with the puppets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where you get a benefit of a human actor in there, you know. But, no, I dig his stuff, and I think this may be his best film he's ever made.
Have you seen Kill That Bitch?
I haven't, but I've not watched it.
I would really like to watch that. I know it's got Haley in it. I'd really like to see that one. So if Dustin does listen to this one and he doesn't hate us, I'd like to review that. But no, I like Skinless a lot. I heard good things, not just from you, Chuck, but from multiple different people. Like when it came in the mail, I got a bunch of comments when I posted my mail day on Instagram. They're like, "Oh, Skinless Pete was awesome. Such a good movie. Gore's great." So I'm like, okay, so
he's a talented guy.
I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm not going to set my expectations too high because. Then if it didn't, you know, meet it, it sometimes with me, I kind of like the movie less than than I really do. It comes off like that, but, yeah. It exceeded my expectations, man. I really liked it.
It's excellent.
I mean, you know, people dog CGI. I hate CGI too, but Mills makes it work when he uses it, you know,
and well, he's real good at sparing. He doesn't use it all the time. He uses it when he needs to use it. And otherwise, if he can make it work with a physical person in a suit or a puppet, he'll do it that way, and that makes it a better movie in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
If I have one issue at all with this, it's something actually I think you were talking about in terms of the story. I like the story a lot. It's kind of like I like Zombie A-Hole a lot, actually, as well. Another one that he... There's a decent story to it. It's not, you know, quite on this level, but it is still a decent story to it. The only thing is, I maybe not be as into the friend zoning being necessary in this, the whole concept of that being half the reason he's doing some of the stuff he does and stuff, may not be into it as much on my end, but otherwise it doesn't kill the movie in any way, shape, or form at all. It's fantastic.
Friend zoning will make you do some interesting things, my friend.
You know I hate using that word, right? That's beside the point.
You know, I got friend zoned back in high school one time, and I was real close to the chick, so what I did was, killed Mr. Park. Nonetheless, what I did do was I had a tech lab. It was like a tech class. We were supposed to be doing all this computer stuff. And I already knew all this stuff because I'm a computer genius, by the way. And what happened was I hacked into her Hotmail account. And this was like second period, so we had a whole day to go. And I sent the dude an email because I knew he had a computer class. And I sent him an email that told him it was over from her. The good days. They broke up for a little while, you know. So I almost pulled it off. My evil plot almost worked.
Chuck, the evil genius.
Like the Joker, you know, only cooler.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. That's like one of them soap opera villains, you know.
Okay, I can work with that, actually. You're probably right on that one.
Like, aha, take this, buddy. Now I get to give some big, long monologue and all this good stuff about this. But, yeah, I mean, I wasn't, you know, kidnapping her and using flesh-eating devices or not, you know, what have you, but, I know. I've been there. You don't live to be 32 and not see some things.
So I'm assuming that Skinless gets absolution from everyone.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff.
And are you looking forward to the sequel to Her Name Was Torment 2, which apparently is getting a 2 and a 3?
I didn't see it, so
I've never seen it either. I don't actually have that one. I think that's like the only movie besides. The whatever Sting and the Helicopters. I don't have that one either. But like most of them, I have most of his movies. But like the ones he came out with last year, which he came out with like 5 last year, I think. I don't have all of those. I have most, not all of them. He's like, he makes a lot of movies, man.
He does.
Of course, like I said, he's kind of got everything he needs right there where he's at. And plus, where he's real good at computer effects, whatever he doesn't have, I guess he can green screen it.
The thing with him is, I liken him to kind of a Roger Corman kind of thing. I mean, if you can turn that shit around that fast and produce it at that level of quality on that little of a budget, you know, eventually, you know, he's making his own stuff right now, but eventually somebody else with a bit more of a budget behind him is going to take notice, and he'll probably end up doing more than this.
Maybe. Maybe he needs to move to California like Kevin Hart did.
I don't know about that.
Oh, all right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back with Height.
Mm-hmm. Hi, guys, this is Vincent, and I'm sorry that I haven't been on ExtraCast in a while, but that's because I've been cosplaying as Judge Dredd and playing with my glass dildo. Actually, guys, I'm just kidding. This is Jeff from the Dead Air Horror and Genre Podcast, and I'm here to tell you that you should come over and listen to our show when you're done listening to this episode of ExtraCast, because we talk about all sorts of inappropriate stuff, and we review horror movies, science fiction movies, all sorts of shit, and things just go off the rails sometimes. We might not review as much pornography as ExtraCast, but we will give you just as many fucks and other inappropriate language as Chris will. So, when you're done listening to this, head on over to deadairpodcast.net and check us out. James will give you a hand job if you do.
So that was a bumper for the guys over at Dead Air.
I think they recorded a new podcast there, Dave.
No, good, because you were texting me, asking me where the new Dead Air podcast was.
You know, Jeff's been making beer, you know.
I saw that, yes. He's made two brews, I believe.
See, well, he ain't telling anybody. He's probably making moonshine in the backyard. I wonder how you could do that in the big city. That'd be kind of hard to keep hid like they do in locally here, where they go in the woods and do it.
Redneck zombies, the real version.
You know, you can get in a lot of anarchy over moonshine stills, you know. Oh,
of course.
Yeah. It's one of the places where when I go back to my mom's and I go to the old rail to trails and ride my bike. I think it's like about 15 miles west of my mom's that there's some like man-made like roads through the dirt, and they've cut trees down so people can't cross them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, cool. I'll take my bike down this, you know, big dirt road, and there's like signs like the closer you get like towards the river where the water is and everything, where they're probably using the water to make moonshine or grow pot plants, one of the two.
Same time.
There's a bunch of signs of like private property. I'm like, no, it's not. I know who owns this fucking property. Mm-hmm. And I get like closer down to it, and it's like, we'll be shot on site. I'm like, well, maybe I'll ride back up the hill and go the other way.
Good time to turn around, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a very good time to turn around.
Trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again.
Yeah. No, it was just saying that you will be shot on sight.
Hey, well, you know, there's that show, which is totally, can't be legit, that Moonshiner show. You ever watched that?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, my goodness. That's so staged. Is there any real reality shows, man? Okay, this is supposed to be legal. These guys are moonshining. Oh, okay, the cops are watching TV. Well, these guys are moonshining. I'll go arrest them. Why don't that happen?
I think there's some sort of law when it's a documentary that you can't do that.
Don't bring no common sense into this. Is that legit? If it's a documentary, so if you're out there moonshining, have somebody film it, say it's a documentary. This is a documentary.
Well, I mean, you'd probably have to have the papers and everything.
Oh, yeah, I can Photoshop.
Anyway. Check out the Dead Air. They brew their own beer.
Well, is there a
at least
a
at least Jeff does. Jesse has to have gluten free beer because he's got something wrong with him.
At least Jesse can respect a film like Vampire's Kiss with Nicolas Cage.
You know, Jesse has like a raging nerd boner for all Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, well, apparently me and he that's good grammar. Me and he are the only ones that.
Good grammar, Chuck.
Vampire's Kiss.
Good grammar.
Good grammar.
When have you ever worried about that?
Well, me and him, it's pretty bad. He and I, of course, be the proper term for it. I'm getting old, boys. I got to learn how to pronounce that properly, you know.
I haven't been able to listen to their podcast, or any podcast for that matter, for like over a month now. Probably it's actually coming up close to 2 months.
Well, you need to, when you go to sleep at night, poke some things in your ears and listen to it while you're going off the dreamland.
I got to make sure I can hear my kid screaming.
Yeah, well.
And a lot of the time, I'm just not a fucking sleep. I've become an insomniac the past couple of months. So I don't know what the actual qualifications of insomniac is, but I was sleeping like 2 to 4 hours a night on average. And the past like week, I've been getting like 90 to 120 minutes on average a night.
People do that to
me. Hey, well, I've never slept, and look at me.
You sleep all fucking day, Chuck.
Man,
no. I'll send Chuck a text message at 11 o'clock and he'll respond to me like 3 hours later.
Now, I get it when you send it. It's just, I sometimes fall asleep before I can reply.
All right. Last movie of the day is High 8, Horror Independent 8. Look out, VHS. There's a new old format in town.
And it's better, too.
It's more true to the format, or to the concept of the movie, at least.
So, let's just go through here. The directors, we've got Tim Ritter, Marcus Koch, Tony Macello, Ron Bonk, Chris Seaver, Todd Sheets, Donald Farmer, and Brad Sykes. And I will be the first to say that I watched this on Wednesday on my day off, and my kid was like 101 temperature fever, so there were like two or three segments that I did not see, and unfortunately one of them was Mr. Koch's, and I am a big fan of his, so I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it.
Apologize right now.
Yeah, I'm apologizing right now.
You missed the cool stuff. There's cool effects in that.
Yeah. Both of these guys told me before we started recording that I missed like the best one.
So, I never said it was the best one, but it's a good set.
It's good. It's good. But now, see, the thing is, though, it's like, I don't know how to say this without making it sound bad. It's not a bad movie, but, you know, everything here is exactly like it's supposed to be. If you ever grew up, I was already growing up, but if you ever went through, like, the 2000s, seeing these made-on-video films, of course, there's some back in the 80s and 90s, too, but, like, there was a whole slew of stuff shot on video in, like, the later part of the 90s and the early 2000s, and this kind of captures that vibe, you know.
Video vibe.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, most of the people were the ones shooting them on video back then, so that's probably one reason why it captures the vibe so well. Although one guy here, I can't remember which one it was, one guy here, this is the first thing he's ever done, I believe. He was a fan of shot on video. He never made one, but he made one for this.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
I can't think which one it was. That was what kills me.
They should do a sequel, and you should get in on it, Chuck.
One of the guys I've seen here it's going to be Tony Macello, because all he has on his credits are visual effects credits, and his directing credit is just this.
Which one did he do? Did he do the one where they were trying to finish the snuff film? Yeah.
Exactly.
That was one of my favorite ones.
That was decent.
Yeah.
That was really good.
He really captured the way those people act, like when the real hardcore VHS collectors, mm-hmm. when they find something, it's like, oh, hey, this is probably
right. It was like a joke within a joke.
And it's funny, though, because I got the joke. So.
Yeah, well, so let's start out with it. And Chuck, you may actually have to run with this one, since, like I said, the second one I didn't even get to see. I just saw the beginning of it and had no idea what was going on, because my kid was screaming in my face.
I'll try to remember off the top of the dome here. We have the wraparound first, of course.
Yeah.
The wraparound is just kind of like an extra story. It doesn't, like, have any continuation like most wraparounds do, you know?
It doesn't. It's a story that continues throughout the whole movie, but doesn't actually connect to the movie.
Yeah, right. And that was a Brad Sykes thing, I think. Is that his name, Brad Sykes?
Yeah, exactly. It's Brad Sykes. He did the same. He did the last segment as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was his. And then from there we go straight to the Tim Ritter entry, which is a Tim Ritter entry. If you've ever seen a Tim Ritter movie,
the wraparound. I've got the list of like the names. The wraparound's called No Budget Films Presents.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much, these three kids are filming a slasher film, and they end up going down to like this old abandoned zoo and start filming in the caves.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a 101 for shooting shot on video for the first time, because you kind of get that vibe of what these kids are doing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting for what it is, but of course, you know, we'll come back to that. But
yeah, later on.
And first now, of course, we have the Tim Ritter one, which is
Switchblade Insane.
Which is odd. I mean, this woman knows that her husband's a killer, you know, basically, and she's stalking him and what he's doing. And then things kind of have a big twist in it and everything. There's some gore in this.
I like this one quite a bit, actually.
I like what it was trying to do. I feel like he may have been... I'm not going to go too deeply into this comment, but he may have been referencing something else.
Yeah.
With the title. And it's interesting. I may not have loved it, but I did actually like a lot. One of the running themes of this was there's a lot of these segments where I may not have liked them. Like a lot of them I liked, but there were a lot of them I didn't necessarily love, but I liked the chances they were taking. Like with this one, for example.
You ever notice that Tim Ritter stuff always seems to have some sort of a marital issue in them?
Mm.
Like look at the True for Dare movie, you know, and other stuff he's done. There's, as far as I know, he's a happily married man, as far as I know. And it seems like he's always got some kind of a marriage issue going on somewhere in his movies. Maybe we should interview Tim Ritter one day and ask him about that.
Okay, Chuck.
Well, this is my job as a reviewer to go deep within these things, right?
Is there some psychological reason why you want to know if he's got a happy marriage or you wanting to move in? I mean...
No. I mean, go back and watch all his films and tell me if there's a marriage issue going on somewhere in all of the films.
No, if I want to go back and watch
them. Marriage, happy or unhappy.
I've got a bunch of his movies. I'll go back. Either way, I think from there we go to the cops one, right?
Right, and this is the one that I didn't see.
Yeah.
All of.
Very bad situation.
So these people, so something bad's happened. Very bad situation. All the survivors are grouped together in, I believe, a garage, right?
Something like that, yeah.
And then here's where the paranoia comes in. Well, okay, well, are you one of them? Or all this and all that? Well, what's wrong with this person? And it just a lot of finger pointing. It's a pretty cool little thing, and it's got like a good ending there to it, I think. And
it's
of course,
cool. My only issue with it was it seemed like it was rushed. It was a little too short.
Yeah.
Or kind of thing, like it seemed like there could have been more to go with, but otherwise it's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, and Koch, of course, is known for the effects, so that's like the big thing here.
Oh, yeah, particularly the ending.
What's the next one we go to after that?
I want to say the next one is...
The Tape?
The Tape, yeah.
Yeah, which is good. Like, I think that's one of my favorite ones in the whole thing. And this was a guy who had done stuff, but this is like his first thing, though. And like I said, he captures the whole thing about a tape collector or a horror fan to find something. It's like, well, I need to finish this, so I need to go here and see if this director is alive and what happened. And very Louis Jessen-y, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. This was fun. They were closing down the video store, and the owner's like, you know, man, you can have this whole box of tapes. They don't have boxes, so I can't sell them because these damn kids are paying outrageous amounts of money for these tapes. But I think all they want is the damn box art.
Is that the one? It seemed like is there everybody's character's names kind of have like an end name in that, or is it? Am I completely thinking something else?
I have no idea.
I don't think so. Not really. I mean, the characters I'm looking at on IMDb right now are Tara Sheets, Gary, Phoebe.
Yeah, see Sheets. That's like Todd Sheets. Reference.
Yeah, but the other ones don't have any last name. Like, maybe in the movie itself, they might have been an end thing. Like,
yeah.
Chester Cause, Tim Strober.
Yeah, see what I mean? There we go.
But in the actual segment, like, the characters in the segment, I don't know.
Well, the whole movie as a whole. It's a running joke about the whole thing, man.
Yeah, I thought the director's name, last name was Cause for, like, Wally Cause, maybe.
Maybe. But, yeah, like I said, so he goes and he finds what's going on with this movie, why it was never... It never finished is what it was, right?
Yeah.
It's not finished yet.
Never finished.
And more stuff happens. And more twists happen. There's twists in this. But I liked it, man. It's another one I thought was really good. And I don't know. Maybe it was... Well, I don't know if it was my favorite. Maybe it kind of was. I don't know. But I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was one of the stronger ones in it.
I had a lot of respect for it because it, in addition to making fun of all, you know, the VHS collecting, there's also a way it just kind of subverts expectation almost completely or stereotype. Like the like he's so obsessed with this movie that his girlfriend comes home and decides she's going to, like, strip and be sexy. And so he's, like, obsessed with the movie. So he is to the point where he's actively having sex with her, but he's not paying attention to it at all. He's just focused on the movie. And it's like, it's brilliantly smart, basically, to do that kind of concept and, you know, subvert that trope, basically.
Yeah. Where do we go after that?
Then we go to Gangnam Style. That one was my favorite.
Now, this was the guy on the rescue mission to the Oko.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now, I saw the latter half of this one. I missed the beginning.
This was a Ron Bonk one, I do believe, right?
Well,
Mr. SRS Cinema, yeah. It was funny, man. It's like, I don't know. It's more of a comedic
thing. It's a comedic
thing.
It's the kind of thing that, like, Astron 6 might make.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they have the right. It's like, first of all, it's like one of those old apocalyptic 80s action films in a way, with the way it goes. And then when he gets there, well, he can't just take her. Now everybody has to go. So then they have this big joke about getting the van and all this stuff. And plus, zombies are supposed to be, I think, zombie infection, right?
Yes, it was supposed to be zombie infection. And I think there was an element, it was never explained, but I guess if you got blood either on yourself or in your mouth, you went. So.
Yeah, so it's a lot of jokes, and I think it was more hit than miss in the joke department. I thought it was funny.
My only real complaint was if it had been a bit longer, maybe the references, and there were a lot of them, would have been spread out a bit more. It kind of just felt like really rapid fire, like it was all references, but it was still easily my favorite. It was fantastic.
And Ron Bonk, man, he's done a couple of different films like this, so I can see why he did it. Plus, he's like the guy putting out all these films on, you know, new VHS tapes and DVDs and stuff now. So I can definitely see. I'm surprised this movie wasn't released by SRS Cinema, to be honest with you, because I think he was like a producer on this thing, too. So outside of that, where did we go after that?
Where did we go after the
Gangnam Style?
After Gangnam Style came... I want to say it was Genre Bending. I think that was the one.
Okay, so this is the Chris Siever one now. And Chris Siever's always been hit and miss with me. Like, I didn't care for Ski Wolf and stuff like that. Although, he did, Geek Wars, which is kind of, I think it's called Geek Wars, about a comedy thing about a VHS tape. So, he's got a big bunch of experience doing stuff on this. And his stuff's odd. Like, Beard, did you ever watch Phantom of the Grindhouse?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't really care much for Phantom of the Grindhouse. Did you ever watch Sex Squatch? Did you watch that?
I never got that, no.
Yeah, well, he's hit and miss with me on a lot of stuff. And when he's really good, he's good. And when he's really bad, he's awful. And this right here, I don't know. Like this guy, he's stalking this heavier woman, and he's doing it, you know, in a close to obvious way, like a big joke way. This is like a slapstick comedy thing here. This is like a really goofy comedy movie, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know what the word the use for it is, but it's one of those where it's such a goofy environment in a world that it's impossible to ever really live in a place like this. So
I like
so that.
The first bit of it was okay. I liked the very, very beginning bit with the stalker, but then it's just so much other stuff.
So he's stalking her, and then it goes to something else, and then it goes to something else, and it's...
It had no point. It had no drive. Yeah. It had no ending.
And I would expect a lot more out of him, you know, because, I mean, like I said, he's done probably 30 of these things. At least it seems like he's done 30 of them. He's got DVD distribution from Alternative Cinema and from NVD and from Troma. And all these different places, and he's done some stuff. You know, he's got a fan base, but I don't know, man. It seemed like maybe he didn't have time or the budget or something, but it didn't seem like this was, like, that great. It seemed like, I think this is, I want to say this is the worst one in the whole movie.
Probably, yeah.
But, of course, everything else makes up for it overall.
Yeah,
but,
on some level, yeah.
It was weak, so I was kind of happy when this one ended.
So then after the genre bending one was, I think it was Todd Sheets doing The Request.
Which is pretty neat. It's a guy doing a radio station thing, and he gets a mysterious caller, and we learn a bunch of other stuff. It's like most of these stories are twisty and turny, you know.
I missed most of this one also.
What was that, Beard?
I said I missed most of this one also.
It was pretty neat. Did you say it was predictable, though?
I thought it was good, but it was predictable. Like, you kind of knew what the big twist was before it even started.
Yeah, of course.
But I liked the ending a lot, just the humor of it.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's Todd Sheets from Zombie Bloodbath thing. Of course, then it goes from there to what? Is it Donald Farmer's?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Which is okay. I thought that was all right for what it was.
Yeah, Thicker Than Water.
Yeah, that one gets a little complex, I guess, if you want to explain it.
It's basically a woman is watching like a beach movie, beach horror movie with her, I guess it's, I'm going with boyfriend on this one, I think is the appropriate term.
Yeah.
And she's obsessed with whether or not he's truly broken it off with his ex-girlfriend.
She was so fucking annoying.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about that. And when he admits that he has, you know, broken it off and says, yes, yes, she decides to find a way to make sure, basically.
Yes. And where did we go after that?
That was one psychotic woman.
Well, yeah, with that one, my thing about it was honestly just, it seemed like it went on too long. Like, the idea was there, I just never thought it really gelled up for me on that one, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. And that's good old farmer here from, lived for 10 years there, right by the area that Donald Farmer's from. I think he lives there still, I don't know. Manchester, Tennessee.
Isn't he technically, like, the biggest name in this, in a way? I mean, because his movies are a little bit more well-known in some way, I guess.
I would say.
Some big productions before.
Some halfway, you know, bigger. You know,
he was actually size. He was actually on VH1's Who Wants to Date a Millionaire, I believe is the name of the show. He won. I don't think he won. So what's that next story that comes?
After that is Brad Sykes popping up again with the Scout.
Oh yeah, that one lost me a little bit. I think
it's ambitious to try it, but it's very confusing.
Refresh my memory. Which one was this?
Sorry?
Refresh my memory. Which one was this?
The woman and the guy go out into the desert. She has to get back for some kind of talent scout thing.
Oh, yeah.
But now, this one looked just like, if you go and watch a lot of those shot-on-video horror films from, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, they look identical to this one. I thought this one here really captured the tone of a lot of those, like Hell's Highway and stuff like that. I thought it kind of really got the tone perfectly.
The boyfriend really irritated me in this one.
Yeah,
he was annoying. Yeah,
so that one was a little bit weaker.
And the issue I had with it honestly was in the way that I said, like, it didn't make a lot of sense. Same thing with the ending; you don't really know how it gets to the ending. Weirdly enough, when the wraparound ends, you kind of come to that same conclusion. I have no idea how that ending makes any sense, but
I feel the same way about the one in the desert, because it just seemed like it just all happened all of a sudden, and I don't know how we got from, you know, events A to events B.
Yeah,
and then so, the ending was so forgettable, I guess I could say that.
Yeah,
you know, it's so forgettable, folks. I have to say this as we sit here now, like one be a week or two or whatever, me actually watching it. I don't remember how this segment ends. I don't remember.
We'll tell you later on, though.
Yeah. I remember how the movie overall ends, though.
Yeah, that was
interesting.
Interesting, yeah. But
yeah, that's another one, like the wraparound.
Yeah, he's the main guy. Like, I think he's like the main force behind the movie, too. But, you know, he did Camp Blood. Ain't those the movies he did with the clown mask?
Yeah, he did Camp Blood. He did Babes in the Woods. I don't know what that is, but Witchcraft 12 in the Lair of the Serpent.
Witchcraft 12, awesome.
One of them.
I still want to marathon those movies.
I don't have any of them.
I don't either.
But they did the Fox hit. But now I think if Camp Blood's right, Camp Blood, that's the one about, like, it's like a low budget shot on video slasher with the guy in the clown mask doing all the killing.
Yeah, exactly.
There's like three of them, but then there's another Camp Blood that, like, acts like the other ones don't exist or something like that, I think. It's odd. Even in the shot on video franchises, you get continuation issues.
Oh, of course, always.
Yeah, but not in my movies, though.
He made Death Factory. That was one that kind of hit Blockbuster for a while.
Yeah, I remember Death Factory, yeah.
Didn't that one have, like, some fang-toothed woman on the cover with, like, needles or fingers or something like that?
Yeah, that one had a little bit of a budget, didn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a pretty big name in this kind of thing, so.
Yeah, well. And overall, I think if you count the wraparound, like I said, the wraparound, you know, it's got a weird ending, but it does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
As the overall package, individually, you could probably pick these things apart individually, even though some's good and there's only a couple of them, it's kind of weak. Overall, is one big thing. I think it does exactly what it set out to do, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's why I like it so much, and why I know that your more lackluster fair weather horror fans probably going to hate it. But I think most people that kind of know what they're doing and know what they're getting are going to love it.
You've got to be a fan of the VHS.
The thing is, like, when I went and saw VHS, like, at a screen, and I was still doing the reviews and stuff. I was walking back through New York City, and there was this couple who had been watching at the same screen, and they were talking afterwards about the fact that they called it VHS, but they didn't really do VHS, and they were annoyed by it and angry by it. Like, specifically talked about that Skype segment one.
Yeah.
Just, they were really annoyed that they didn't go where it seemed like they were going to go. I know there's a really good-sized contingent of horror fans who feel that way about VHS.
I'm one of
them. Yeah, this feels like the kind of movie that they wanted VHS to be, and I honestly feel it's better than VHS.
It is better than me. The first VHS was fucking terrible.
This is better than VHS and VHS 3, you know, viral. I don't know if I like the second one, even though it's more, you know, this is more true to the format than that. I did like the second VHS quite a bit.
It's got a lot of quality to it.
I would like to see these name directors like Ty West and all that. I would like to see them actually shoot something on video and see what the results would be. Like, you know, there's 8 rules that directors had to go by to do this movie. You know, you hear them talk about it on special features and stuff.
Yeah,
I would like to see Ty West and all them make something going by those rules and see what they come up with.
We're kind of in like a new renaissance in terms of like an anthology, like, because you got that Double X, which is that one with all female directors.
Mm-hmm.
They probably eventually get another movie to Death 3 or something, because they just did 2.
No, I'm sure they will, yeah.
Kevin Smith announced he's going to be doing a segment in that new one they're doing, Holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are they still involved in the Double X one?
Yes.
I couldn't tell.
I didn't hear anything about them not being.
Yeah. Well, I got a press release for it. I don't remember seeing their name on it.
I'll double check right now.
I believe I saw on Twitter that they are.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, there's the one that I'm just waiting really long time for, which is a Profane Exhibit.
Yeah, I've seen one of those in its entirety.
Oh, actually, you might be right. I'm looking at the IMDb page right now, and all I'm seeing is Sophia Carillo, Mary Herron, Karen Kusama, Jennifer Lynch, and Jovanka Vukovic.
Yeah.
So they may have dropped out, actually.
Yeah, the Profane Exhibit. Isn't there already a Profane Exhibit?
No, you're just thinking of the.
Hasn't come out.
Yeah,
it's like it exists in pieces and bits, and it's played like some festivals, but it hasn't like come out yet. That's the one that's got like Uwe Boll, Deodato, Brian Nicholson, Nishimura, Richard Stanley. You know, it's got like 13 people.
Well, one of those guys I met at Horror Hound, and we ended up reviewing one of his films, His Devil Night, and he showed me on his computer at the convention. I watched his entire segment for the Profane Exhibit, and it was pretty awesome.
That's going to come out eventually, but I mean, it's still just kind of walking around in limbo right now.
Yeah.
But still, that's, again, another one. I mean, I'll put it this way. I got tired of a lot of fan footage. I never say, like, oh, I don't want to see this entire subgenre, but there was a glut of fan footage. There was a glut of haunting movies. So if the next thing after the big haunting movie craze is going to be anthologies, I'm all for it.
You know, I probably could have done a top 10 of just top 10 good and bad of just fan footage movies from all the ones that came out last year. I mean, my goodness. I mean, this must have been how people felt in 1981 when all the slasher movies come out. Although, me personally, I would love if every movie coming out every month now is a slasher instead of a shot on video, or not shot on video, but a found footage one.
I wouldn't mind that for a while.
I would mind it.
Yeah, but they need to rotate stuff in and out, man. It's like they run zombies. Zombies still get ran in the ground.
Well, found footage.
It's
like,
beyond run in the ground.
Zombies are in the ground 6 feet under.
Is there nothing new that they can do, or is it just nobody wants new stuff?
Yeah, I think they're just whatever will sell, they're doing.
It's a mix of both. They realize that zombies on some level still sell, so they're going to push the zombies, push the found footage to know it still sells. They're going to push the ghost movies because they still sell. That's why you're having your Annabelle and your Conjuring 2 and your Poltergeist remake. For the record, did you guys see that trailer came out this week?
What trailer?
Yeah, did you see the Poltergeist remake?
Oh, yeah. The trailer looks good.
I am surprised how good it looks. But yeah, that's,
it looks... Jump Scare City, folks.
It does. At the same time, though, it looks good. Like, it looks like they're trying and they aren't just throwing just CGI at you.
jump scares are cheap, Baron. They're cheap.
The original Poltergeist had a lot of jump scares on it. Sorry, Chuck.
Well, I haven't seen Poltergeist since I was like 10 years old.
Well, that's your own fault.
I owned it.
One of these days you can do a Poltergeist retrospective.
Well, no, because then our podcast would get cursed and people will die, and we don't want to do that.
Would you rather do The Omen?
I'll do both of them.
I've only got Poltergeist 1 at the DVD I bought. I never, when Shannon come down, I bought it. I never opened it.
Well, go to like Hastings or FYE and buy the other two for $10.
I want them all on Blu-ray. Is that possible?
No. Poltergeist 2 is on Blu-ray. What,
Poltergeist?
Yeah.
I think that's possible, actually.
I don't think the third one's on Blu-ray.
That'd be the only one. Yeah, I know that Poltergeist 2 is on Blu-ray because MGM kind of threw it out there. It was like special to best buy for a while.
Yep, I got both of those.
I'm gonna try to get
So High 8, Absolution.
Absolution,
yeah.
I've got the Omen Blu-ray set. I just don't have that fourth movie that they put out.
If you order it from a four, you can get a imported DVD of the Poltergeist 3. But yeah, I give Absolution to High 8, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Worth checking out, especially if you like shot on video stuff, which I think has a pretty big audience, or underground audience.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. If you like shot on video, if you're a anthology fan, if you hate the VHS films, it's worth a shot. I mean, it's not gonna break the bank for you to order this.
Well, hey, they got a VHS copy out there too.
Yeah, there's a VHS copy too.
But I think it's funny though, Rob mentioned that, like, you know, people that don't know what this is going into it, they're like, well, this is an old movie.
That's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. It's proof they're doing their job.
Yep. I give it Absolution, and I hope there's a sequel, and maybe one day I can build a career for myself and be invited.
I'd like to see Chuck Connery in High 8 2.
To be honest, if it does well, like, let's say a Morbid does well on DVD, they probably would ask you.
They might. They might do it. I could whip something up.
Well, I'm not trying to cut tonight short, everyone, but my kid is awake and in the other room and yelling, and he's sick still, so we're going to have to end abruptly tonight.
That's no problem. Do you want to let him know what's going to be next week, or do you just want to...
Next week for Valentine's Day, we're not sure. I think we're pretty sure what day we're going to record on, but I'm not sure what day it will be up because I work all week, and then my son's first birthday is Friday, and his party is on Saturday. So it'll be up sometime that weekend, but we are doing God Told Me To, Necromantic 2. And Newsfinder chose Sexy Killer.
Yep.
So it's almost a romantic episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's our warped and twisted idea of romance.
The ultimate romance, necromantic, so.
Exactly, that's what you're saying. You get the idea, see?
So until then, keep listening because the power of cast compels you.